You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
He is terrific on MLB Network. He is Cliff Floyd. Cliff, it's Chris Carlin here on 98.7 ESPN in New York. How are you?
Good, Chris. How you feeling, man?
I'm doing well. Ottawa, man, you were ripping the cover off the ball back there, and everybody couldn't wait for you to get to the big leagues.
Yeah, you know what? Those were the days. I miss those days. I always tell my people, it's like, what happened when you got to Ottawa? I was like, I was hitting the ball. It was just right at people. But they should have been. I was hitting them Adam balls right at people. But then I said, like, you know what? I should have never freaking went to Ottawa. I was raking in Double A. And I'm telling you, Chris, they sent me to AAA to rot, man. I was like, you can't send me to AAA when you're hitting. I had like a 15-game hitting streak in Double A. You take me right to the league, man. They ruined me.
You know what? You know what they say about AAA? Everybody's pissed off about being there.
You ain't lying.
All right, Cliff. Give me your take on the current situation right now. As the owners, the players, not only from the financial standpoint, but also from what we've seen from the health standpoint.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I think the financial side, you know, is one of those things where they're going to have to figure it out. And they're going to have to just grind and, you know, however they get it done, they have to get it done. I mean, you have bigger bumps in the road coming up, you know, with the collective bargaining agreement, all those things. But as far as the health care, that to me is the most alarming thing. You have to figure out, because you're going to have plan A in place. And I think everybody's going to look at that and go, well, it's going to have, you know, it's going to have some holes in it, but I think everybody will figure out how to adjust. And you don't have to just bear down. And if that means isolating yourself in a, you know, in a hotel or at home after the game, so be it. You adjust to that. Hopefully it's just the rest of this year and we get back to normalcy next year. But as far as following guidelines to the professionals, that's going to be important. So if plan A falls through, then we need to have plan B and C and D ready to apply, because we can ill afford to have anybody in any sport get sick again. And I don't know if that's possible. I really don't know, but you're going to take every precaution necessary to make sure that you do everything. And it's going to be accountability on the players too. You know, and it's going to be a lot of accountability on the players. And I know the mental side is going to be challenging, but the player is going to have to be accountable for taking care of their responsibilities every single day. That's going to be a huge challenge.
Cliff, is it logistically possible to do what they want to do from what we've seen from this 67-page report?
Oh, man. You know, I don't know. And I say I don't know because realistically, you have to listen to these players and understand where they're coming from, because they're going to be asked to go on the field and perform in front of no fans. You know, that in itself. So you go, okay, let's take that out of it. You just go out there and you play. You know what, Chris? I go golf every single day. If the boys told me that I played golf with every day, that it wasn't competitive and we just go out there and play, I probably wouldn't play with them every day. So my point to that is you're asking a lot of these dudes that's trying to figure out how to go out there and put wins in the win column every night and then get their bodies ready to go do it again and again and again and again. That's the one thing in our sport that we don't get the luxury of the other sports. We're playing every single day. And I don't know, we don't know how the schedule is going to be situated. But when you think about recovery, when you think about all these things that go along with getting these dudes on the field consistently and getting them to perform and win, that is going to be the hardest thing for everybody to try to accomplish day in and day out.
Cliff Floyd of MLB Network with us, of course, the former Met, among other teams. How would you feel about this right now if you were a player? Would you be really concerned about your health? What would you be thinking about?
Yep, because I definitely would be. And I would base it on when you ask me, Cliff, me. You know, so I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about I have asthma. I'm thinking about all these things. I'm thinking about my mind, Chris, because – you know, some people are not as strong as they look. So you look at some dudes, you go, oh, my God, what a specimen. This dude is, you know, a beast. But mentally, they might not be a beast. So I think when you look at some of these things that go along with, you know, going out there on that field or going out into the real world, I'm scared as heck to go out to the real world. I go golf every day. I go golf. I get my bag, I go get it, put it on the cart, and I go golf, and I come back home. I literally almost ran out of gas today because I literally haven't been to the gas station in 3 months. And I'm not lying to you. And I looked at the gauge, and I was like, oh, crap, I'm about to run out of gas. I don't go to the grocery store. So my point to that is when you have multiple dudes with all these concerns and all these things that go along with day in and day out regimen, that's going to be the thing that's going to be challenging for everybody. Can they get through it? Absolutely, they can. But is it going to be a challenge? Absolutely, I think it's going to be.
Cliff, we've heard from Blake Snell. He probably didn't put it the best way, but we heard Harper right. back him up a little bit. We heard Nolan Arenado back him up a little bit. Do you think it's going to be more than a handful of guys that are just going to decide that I'm not playing this year?
I think it's good to speak your mind. I do. I think it's good to have a voice and be opinionated and all these things. I think in these times, you really have to be careful. I would never go out there and say, Blake, you're what the hell are you doing? I'm not going that route. I just told you what I feel. These dudes have to speak. If they want to speak, speak. But at the end of the day, you need to side with the players that's going on that field, because the three names you just mentioned are the three most important dudes in our league. So if you need these guys to understand that while everybody is going through some trials and tribulations and we're trying to get this normalcy back and everybody has, you know, we're going through the emotional roller coaster, we're going to have to come together. We're going to have to figure out how to get through this and fight through whatever months we have left and then have a regular offseason and then get our beautiful game back to some normalcy. That's what I'm looking at. You can make the comments. You can say some things. And it is your payday, and it is your money going in your pocket, and I get all those things. But at the end of the day, Chris, we're going to have to all bite the bullet. And then everybody go, well, I'm talking about MLB Network, too. They talk to us, and a lot of things are happening where you have to make conscious executive decisions, and you do them without gripe. You get through it. You figure out how to get through it, and then when we're back to normal, everybody can breathe a sigh of relief, and we can focus on getting our everybody back to where we feel good about ourselves going out into our real world.
Would, if you are one of those players and they decide not to do it this year, is that going to hurt them with their teammates in the future?
I want you in my foxhole. So I would say it hurts you. Yeah, it hurts. It hurts because the three names you just mentioned are super important to their teams.
Right.
So if you're telling me that those three don't play, it's hard to, you know, sit here and go, well, you know, we got a sour apple here. He's not about winning. I understand what they're going through, but I feel like you have to put some stuff aside and deal with it. You know, whatever you're dealt, you deal with it and you go out there and play the cards as you dealt. That's how I feel. Does it hurt them moving forward? I think it would just, you know, dudes would look at them a little sideways, but I think they would come back to reality and go, look, you know what they did it for them and themselves? Does the players, the individual player probably speak to the team? And then you make your conscious decision if you mess with them or not moving forward. I don't think many guys would hold grudges forever, but I think it would be a little bit of a, you know, a little gripe in some clubhouses.
Cliff Floyd with us, and of course of MLB Network. This has been my thought process on it. Like I said, I don't necessarily disagree with any of those players, and I agree that they should speak their minds about it. And what we tend to forget is that these guys are humans, and, you know, they got to do what's right for themselves and their families, and we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And, you know, people hear that, and they automatically just think, well, they're getting paid to play a game and all that. But it's the thing to me, Cliff, like, it's one of those situations where it's not like playing hurt. At least it doesn't feel like that, or playing when you could play and you're not sure. This is truly one of those things where I almost feel like you have to be your own barometer in making this decision.
You do. And that's why, you know, it's sort of like I'm trying to walk that thin rope, because look, this is very trying times for every household, not just baseball players or football and basketball, for every household. And I think when you're speaking about these dudes, there is a stance you make. There is that your name does carry weight. And the three you mentioned, names are the MLB. It carries weight. When you mention those three, Blake Snell, you know, Bryce Harper, and Nolan Arenado, people are going to listen. But I think that's where, and I say these times, because any other times, I'm telling you, I'm saying, nope, these dudes are making valid points. These dudes are standing on their own, and they're helping the others as they going to follow these guys' lead. But in these times, I'm saying we're going to have to figure out a way to come together, get these months over with as best we can without anybody getting sick and anybody, you know, going down that road where we have to stop the game and go four steps backwards and figure it out on the fly. That's going to be our huge challenge. The other stuff I respect. I obviously, as an ex-player, I've learned early in my career where you have to have a stance, you have to be collective as a group. From the player side, I get all that. But we never had anything trying like this. A work stoppage is nowhere near what our world is going through right now. So I believe that when you have something like this, you're going to have to come together as a group. And while you do say some things that might, you know, I won't say out of character, but, you know, and sometimes, you know, you have moments where you're speaking off the cuff because you're just frustrated with everything that's going on and the play, you know, and the owners are not showing their books or whatever the case may be. You're still going to have to put some of your feelings aside and have some accountability, responsibility, and come together as a group, go out there and play, get this over with, you know, and then get back. Like I said, hopefully everything is back to normal. And the worldly things that's happened now won't be forgotten forever, but these 82 games or whatever the case may be, you can put it in the, you know, in the past and move forward. That's the most important thing to me is let's get back to when it's time moving forward to what I enjoy the most. Excuse me. It's the dog days of the summer. Is grinding through August. That team that's a sleeper. That's what I want to talk about. When I get back on the show with you, I want to talk about some of these teams that's balling out of control and dudes stepping up. This is very uncomfortable for an ex-player, for any player to have to talk about because this is not what I know, Chris. I don't know these type of things political-wise that's going on. I love the game. Yep. And I know it's hard to talk about, but when we get it back, I want it to be about the game as opposed to some disgruntled players that's not playing for their team.
Yeah, we all do. I mean, we're itching for that. It's Cliff Floyd from MLB Network. Just one more on the financial side of it. It's just a bad look for both sides right now, right? I mean, there's public sniping at the moment, and you have to believe at some point that this is going to come together. But Cliff, if you've been involved on the player's side before, pandemic aside. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that I'm taking from this is they're just so afraid of setting a precedent here about whether or not this is a soft cap or whatever. It seems like that is genuinely Tony Clark's, maybe Scott Boras's big concern here moving into next year. Is that fair or is it something else?
No, it's fair. And that's why I said it earlier. Like you have bigger issues than you financially, not what we're going through as far as the health crisis and all these things. I'm trying to figure out the stuff that's going on next year. And, you know, and as you start talking about money and start talking about, you know, all these things that we've heard before, I hate using when I was just said to you a minute ago, work stoppage. I was like, dang, I hate that. Yeah. Verbiage. I hate anything that goes down that road. I just believe, like you said, both sides have to figure out a way to come together where both sides are happy and you get players on the field that feel good about being out there. Because we can sit here and go total opposite, Chris, and go, you know what? I feel what they're saying. You expect me to put my life on the line. You don't want to pay me all the money that I'm due. and you want me to go out there and chop the wins and you know, dubs in the win column every night. Man, you ain't really trying to help me. You don't really care about me. You can go down that road. I'm still saying we still got to figure out how to get past all that. We still got to figure out a way to make sure that, you know, we don't do anything that's going to not have us on the field and seeing guys, you know, not just going through the motions, but guys playing the game. And it's going to be very hard. I can't wait. I'm so ready just to see how this is going to work. I'm so ready to see how, see how the guys mature, the young guys mature literally overnight. The veteran guys take care of the young guys. I'm just anxious to see how this all comes together because I think we're going to get through it, Chris. I do. I think 100% we're going to get through all this stuff right now. I call them, trials and tribulations, and get everybody on the same page. We're going to get out there and play some ball.
Cliff Floyd with us. Okay. What's got you excited to see once we get going? What had you excited about this season?
You know what had me excited was I just before, the pandemic hit, that is my first time doing at the network. We have the 30 for 30 spring training, right?
Right.
And I got a chance to see and talk to the managers, Chris, I talked to Brian Snicker, so I did the Braves. I did the Minnesota Twins, Rocco Baldelli. I did Tampa, Charlie Montoyo. I got a chance to see some dominant young teams in this league in spring training. I thought to myself, man, it's going to be a crazy year to watch these dudes. The Twins pull off Josh Donaldson just to add to that nucleus that they had, going on. I looked at the Braves. They had a brand new facility. I forget where they are in spring training, but what a phenomenal spot they had. But they bring in Marcell Ozuna to help their youngster out there in center field, right? Because he's going to be an absolute, to me, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but he needs to get his mind right as far as, running, and I'm talking about Ronald Acuña Jr. He's running, not running out balls and stuff like that. Marcell Ozuna had him out there on the field. When I was there for the 2 days, he was working out at 7 a.m. And everybody in camp said, we haven't seen him do this yet. So when you talk about all these young teams, vibrant teams, I was excited about where this league was going. It wasn't just the same old teams. We had worry issues with Boston. We had worry issues before this thing happened with the Yankees as far as their two studs being hurt and Stanton and Judge. So I thought this was the time to see some of these young teams, and not saying young, these some young veterans on some of these teams, but these young teams come in and start having some different names to talk about. When you and I talk, it's not just the same, what do you think wrong with the Yankees? What do you think wrong with the Mets? Look, it was about to be a lot of teams for us to start talking about as far as being good and being, and I won't say dominant, but being really good.
All right, Cliff, last one. I don't mean to bring up a bad memory, but just a question. Mm-hmm. Game 7, 2006, you're as banged up as could be that entire series in the NLCS, and you come up in the ninth inning. Like, physically, where were you for that at-bat where you could try to get up there? I mean, you had two guys on, nobody out. Physically, should you have been at the plate? I'm not telling you to not ask, I'm not asking you to knock Willie, but take me through that there.
So, Willow says, what you think you can do? I said, look, you're going to have to take the bat out of my hand. I'm not taking it out. You tell me go hit. I'm hit. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I can't run. That morning, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I went to the doc in the city to get a shot in my Achilles. Well, he shot me in my calf muscle, hoping that the medicine would trickle down to the area and, give me a chance to go out down the field. Well, it didn't work. Felt like crap. But I was stay ready, hitting in the cage. I felt like, and this is why Tony La Russa is a Hall of Famer. He knew we had just the scouting report on Adam Wainwright. We had no idea who the heck this dude was. We didn't know he had 12-6 curveball. Obviously, he turned into a tremendous, borderline Hall of Fame pitcher in this league for a long time. But when you think about where we was at the particular time, a rookie pitcher in that situation, I got in the box. I swear for goodness, I'm looking out the mound. I'm saying, man, this dude is fidgeting. He's rubbing the baseball up in his hands. He going to throw me two cookies. Now, had I took two steps back and just try to get a knock over, you know, just a knock over the second baseman's head, I probably would have hit a ball 400 feet. But the fact that I was trying to hit a ball 400 feet, I fouled the ball straight back. And when I fouled the second one back, and he threw that 12-6 curveball, it was a wrap. But should I have been in that situation? I felt like right man, right situation. I did it. I told Willie, I said, look, the worst thing that can happen if I hit a ball on the ground, hell, it might be a triple play. I can't run at all. But if I can swell one up, we got a Kirk Gibson moment. This didn't happen.
You're always one of my favorite players to watch, Cliff, and I appreciate the time. Great insight as usual. MLB Network doing a terrific job. Cliff Floyd, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
No doubt, man. Stay safe, all right? Appreciate you.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.